Mandarin language has a very good word. Huh? You avoid Bawangxian, false thinking. False thinking means the thinking that are not important.
Just put side by side. Huh? Okay. Never mind, that one, leave it. Just in case you. Oh, the recorder now. Okay. Never mind, you can take your phone back. Huh? Okay. So now the recorder is back. Huh? Hopefully. The first part, we cannot do anything. Huh? Recorder until where, also, I don't know. I hope the Jai Krishnamurti code was recorded. But if it's not, then meant to be. Huh? Never mind, it's okay. It's recorded, yeah, the light is there. Is it running, the clock? Yeah, just check the digital clock. Got movement, huh? Okay, thanks. So, I will read on. The sixth patriarch took his seat and said, all of you should quit daydreaming. Means, stop being heedless. Pay attention, be heedful. That's why he said, listen to the Dhamma with a pure mind and united heart. What is a pure mind? What is a pure mind? Silent, true mind, meditative mind, attentive mind. Then united means what? Not fragmented, understand that? Be mindful of Maha Prajna Paramita. Maha is great. Prajna is wisdom. Paramita is perfection of wisdom. Maha Prajna Paramita is called great wisdom. Means perfection of great wisdom. Maha means great. Prajna means wisdom. Paramita means arrive at the other shore. Actually, here the word, the meaning is explain in another way, understand not? How do you arrive at the other shore? Means you realize Nibbana, understand not? To realize Nibbana, you must have awakened your mind. You must have perfected your wisdom, your understanding. The actual meaning of paramita is actually perfection. When you have perfected the virtue, the 10 perfection to be a Sammasambuddha, then that become a paramita. Then the sutta continue. He then said, great knowing advisor, the wisdom of Bohi and Prajna is originally possessed by worldly people themselves. It is only because their minds are confused that they are unable to enlighten themselves or awaken themselves and must rely on the great knowing advisor who can lead them to see their Buddha nature. You should know that the Buddha nature of stupid and wise people is basically the same Buddha nature, means no different. It is only because of confusion and enlightenments are different that some are stupid and some are wise. I will now explain for you the Maha Prajna Paramita Dhamma in order that each of you may become wise. Pay attention, pay careful attention, and I will explain it to you. This is according to Hui Ning. Then he say, good knowing advisor, worldly people recite prajna with their mouth all day long, and yet do not recognize the prajna of their self nature. This one is to make those Mahayana people who chant without understanding wake up. So this one is very good. When you recite prajna with your mouth, means what? You are parroting, mumbling like the parrot. The parrot can actually repeat very clearly, but they don't know the meaning. So he said, if you recite with your mouth all day long, means you are very diligent, and yet you do not recognize the true prajna of your self nature. That's why Hui Ning said, if you do that, you are wasting your time. It's just like those who do thought-based meditation. You can continue for very long, many, many years, but you will not understand the true prajna of your self nature. Because your mind, the moment is active with the thought, you cannot realize that self nature. The moment you verbalize through that chanting, you cannot chant until the awareness and the mantra become one, then your mind silent. You cannot realize the true nature of yourself, prajna, or self nature. So this part is very important. Then Huineng says, just as talking about food will not make you full, so too, if you only speak of emptiness, you will not see your own nature in 10,000 ages. See? He used the word 10,000. No? You know how many life or not? Huh? Assuming you can live 100 years old, every 100 years, one life. 1,000 is 100 life. Huh? Oh, 10 life. Huh? 10,000 is 100 life. So we say you cultivate for 100 life, so you cannot see. Where you talk about emptiness. Oh, that's why those who are very scholarly, knowledge-based, thought-based, you can actually go on and talk about Dhamma, but you can never realize the true prajna. In the end, you will not have obtained, he used the word, any benefit. No? Means you haven't really progressed at all. No? Because that two things are so different, isn't it? World apart, isn't it? All the things that you do through the thought-based, through the verbalization, chattering, or what they call concept and idea, they are not from the true mind. They are not the direct seeing. They don't constitute prajna at all. It's knowledge, understand? That's why it will not have obtained any benefit. This is the reason why the emperor couldn't understand when he asked Bodhidharma, how much merit do I receive or have I developed after building all the temples, supporting all the monks, and doing all those great work? Bodhidharma said, zero. Because to Bodhidharma, who is already enlightened, any merit must be free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. It must be a pure merit. But the emperor one, he has the thought that doing good is meritorious. So his action is out of good for merits. Means you act with the intention behind to receive merits. Means there is an element of selfishness, craving. It's not a pure thought. If a pure thought means if there is condition to do, I will do because this is very wholesome. I don't do because I want the merits. Understand? I do because as an emperor, I got the resources, I got the means, and I can do all this because according to nature's law, these are very wholesome. These are very beautiful. That's why when you spontaneously have the understanding, then you just want to do because there is condition to do. That is a pure merit. But you don't go and have this thought of, wow, this one, the monk, very virtuous, I was told, this is better than what. Then you go and weigh, you go and calculate, oh, I go this one, I don't want to go that one. Means you have a discriminative mind, a desire, a craving to have more merits. Then you do not because you understand, not because you want to do, because you want to have more merits. Like a lot of people say, they purposely want to offer themselves. So when they bring to the katina, then they don't get to offer. They felt very unhappy. Means your whole mind state is gone. Then when they get to do, they feel very happy. They say, oh, I have offered the monk. Oh, I have offered. Because when you do with the atta, the self, that I have offered to that monk, there is still sakayaditi, understand? Self-delusion. That's why to have pure merit is not easy. You must have this understanding that this form and mind is not you, but karmically conditioned out for you to use. This is your vehicle, understand not? Law of karma recognizes this, where it's connected to your nature. So you use this to do with understanding, not with delusion. He no you, he no me. That's why it's just the form and mind. With that understanding, it just do. And that is very penetrative. And that is pure merits. And when you do with that understanding, I tell you, your merit become very different. That's why those who attend the Tuesday class, they will know. The Diamond Sutta. If you want to be a true Sammasambuddha or a true Bodhisattva to cultivate the real cultivation, you have to cultivate at the level of the understanding as taught by the Buddha, the Diamond Sutta. You must have the cultivation of no mark, no mark of a self, no mark of a living being to save, no mark of any Dhamma. That is the real merit. And when you do that, you can forget about all your earlier cultivation, because they are peanut compared to this cultivation. That's why in the Diamond Sutta, there is a lot of example that Sakyamuni Buddha gave. He said, anybody, he said, who can understand even four stanzas of the Diamond Sutta, cultivate it, then teach it. The amount of merits that this being has is more than the seven treasure in this universe that you can get. And you make offering to all the Buddhas of the three period of time for countless world cycles. That merit cannot compare to this particular cultivator who just understand four stanzas of the Diamond Sutta, cultivate it and share with the living being. See? That's why when it comes to cultivation, it's about understanding. Otherwise, you can be wasting your time for eons and eons and eons and eons. You are nowhere near the real cultivation. But the moment you penetrate and understand, you progress very fast. Just like doing merits. If you don't have that understanding, if your merit is marked with the three evil root, even at various level of subtlety, it is still not a pure merit. It means you have not even started cultivating pure merits where the enlightened being do. Understand? You must understand to have a moment of pure thought, even one moment, is so difficult for normal living being. Because they are most of the time heedless with the evil roots. That's why they cannot have a moment of pure thought. To have a moment of stillness and silence, a pure thought without content, is very rare. Very, very rare. That's why as cultivators who are born this era, where the Buddha Sasana is there, because of your affinity, you can be born as a human being. Then you can encounter the Buddha Sasana. Then you can have the condition and opportunity to develop this understanding and perform that cultivation. These are very rare conditions. Even to be a human being during Buddha Sasana time is already very rare, the condition. Even to become to be born as a human being is already so rare. That's why Mahayana Sutta always, they have this appreciation. And they warn the cultivator, he said, Zen sen nan de, fo fa nan wen. It's very difficult to be born as a human, to have a human form, a human birth. Even more difficult to encounter the Triple Gem or the Buddha Dharma. If you have the condition to be born as a human being, and you have the condition to encounter the Buddha Dharma, and you can cultivate, this is your best window. That's why I say don't miss this one. If you miss this one, it's going to be a very long, long haul for the next one. Okay, so far, any question? Any question? Can follow or not? Good. You got any question, you can stop me. You don't worry, yeah? You got no question, we move on. Good knowing advisor. Mahapragna Paramita is a Sanskrit word which means great wisdom, which has arrived at the other shore. It must be practiced in the mind and not just recite in words or parroting. When the mouth recites and the mind does not practice or cultivate, it is like an illusion, a transformation, a dewdrop, or a lightning flash. However, when the mouth recites and the mind cultivates or practices, then mind and mouth are in mutual accord. One's own original nature is Buddha. Apart from the nature, there is no other Buddha. That's why when you are not in your true mind, you are heedless, you are lost in thought. You cannot realize the enlightenment. That's why the heedful never die. Where the heedful are ever mindful. They are constantly aware. That's why they are with their true mind. And in the Diamond Sutta, the opening statement where Subhati asks the Buddha Sakyamuni, if you intend on developing the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, how should we dwell? The Buddha opening statement replied to Subhati, you must always dwell with the true mind. That's why you have to be ever mindful. That's why heedfulness is very important. And you cannot dwell this way, you are not a bodhisattva. It's mentioned in the sutta. You are not a cultivator, a true cultivator. If you dwell in your thought process, you are being heedless. That's why sati is very important. Okay, we read the commentary, see what Master Xuan Hua say. Worldly people recite prajna, prajna, prajna. But they do not know the prajna of their own nature or their own inherent wisdom. You may recite recipe from a cookbook from morning to night saying, this is delicious, but you will never fill your stomach that way. So, saying prajna is empty is not to do anything about it. In the end, it is of no benefit. It is nothing more than head mouth zen. In Mandarin, it's tou kou chan, is it? Kou tou chan, is it? Means head and mouth zen. That's why you must understand Mandarin. Otherwise, this word become like very strange. Head, mouth, zen. And will not help you to see your inherent true prajna. Instead, see everything as empty and put it aside. See it, smash it, and put it down. Empty everything. Then you need not recite it all day long with your mouth. If your mouth recites, but your mind does not practice, your recitation is a worthless illusion. If you see the prajna wisdom of your own self nature, you will not become entangled in stupid affairs. You will not be ignorant. If you remain ignorant, your mind is not cultivating. If you use your mind as well as your mouth in cultivating prajna, you will see that your own fundamental nature is itself Buddha. Everyone can realize Buddhahood. You need only cultivate. What should you cultivate? What should you cultivate? Your nature. You must realize your true nature. Do not seek outside, but reverse the light inward. Reverse the illumination. Hui Quang Fan Cao. And look within. You don't look with your eye. Look with your silent mind, awareness. That's why the awareness, the silent mind, the quiet mind, the still, tranquil mind, the free mind, that is the real prajna, the real meditative mind. So this one, you have to cultivate. You have to develop the silence to understand. Okay, we move on. What is meant by Maha? Maha is great. This one we have gone through. The capacity of the mind is vast and great like empty space and has no boundary. It is not square or round, great or small. Neither it is blue, yellow, red or white. It is not above or below, long or short. It is without anger, without joy, without right and wrong, without good or evil. And he has no head or tail. All Buddha lands are ultimately the same as empty space. The wonderful nature of worldly people is originally empty. And there is only a single Dhamma which can be obtained. The true emptiness of the self nature is also like that. Good knowing advisor, do not listen to my explanation of emptiness and then become attached to emptiness. This is the advice. The most important thing is to avoid becoming attached to emptiness. If you sit still with no empty mind, you will become attached to undifferentiated emptiness. See? If your mind is not empty, you will create emptiness through concept, through idea, through words. That's why you can never realize it. True emptiness, you know what is that or not? You know what is an empty mind or not? Not nothingness. What is an empty mind? Use the mic. Try. Use the mic.
A mind that is free from attachment, dwelling, conception, perception, viewpoint.
Yeah, that are the few words that can describe, but it doesn't define clearly. Let Ing Bee try. Because this is a general description, free from attachment, but it doesn't point to the true meaning.
Maybe my understanding of an empty mind is quiet mind, a simple mind.
Very good. Just like what Krishnamurti described. Yeah. When the mind is quiet and simple, means what? It's no longer arising. It's no longer desiring. It's no longer having any craving to become anything. Anasana. That's why that true emptiness is when the mind ceases to be, the mundane mind. It is just a simple mind that is just silent, aware, complete, doesn't want anything. That's why it's quiet. The moment is not quiet, it's not empty, means what? The condition arising mind has arisen. That's why in Mahayana, you all were taught, qi xing dong nian. Remember? What is the meaning? The moment you arise the mind, activity arise, sankhara arise. That's why you are no longer empty. You are no longer quiet. You are no longer simple. Wu ming yan xing, avijja paccaya sankhara. Without avijja, there is no sankhara. Without avijja, there is no qi xing dong nian. Understand not? So all this you understand, without wisdom, without yoniso manasikara, feeling cannot be pure feeling. It will stir, because the mind that is deluded will have craving, becoming, like and dislike. It will condition the mundane mind to arise, to manifest. That's why all this teaching in the Mahayana, they are very, very beautiful. Especially the Pure Land teaching. You heard of this sutta, Wu Liang Shou Jing. Wu Liang Shou Jing. Sutta on the limitless line. Amitabha Buddha said, there is a lot of coming obstruction, isn't it? He said, everything you come to know, suo zi zhang. everything you come to know is an obstruction. There is nothing to know. All knowing comes from what? Thought, memory. And there is knowledge. Wisdom is not a knowing. Wisdom is not a thought, not an idea, not a concept. It's an understanding. It understands things as they are. No word, no concept, no description. That's why 所知障, this three word is so powerful already. Then you will not cling to Dhamma. You will not cling to knowledge. You will not cling to words and concept. Then the other one, he said, 烦恼障. You know what is 烦恼, isn't it? 烦恼, worry. Who worry? Who worry? The fear, worry, anxiety come from where? Yeah, come from thought, correct. But who worry? The deluded one worry. So if you are not deluded, why do you want to worry? Can your worry solve your problem? Then why you still worry? Human beings' problem is like that, no? Complain, angry, miserable, worry, fear, it doesn't solve their problem. And yet, they allow it to manifest. This is delusion. This is stupidity. I don't blame the Mahayana to use such strong words, stupidity. Really, you look back, correct? Stupid, isn't it? Whatever happened, happened already. The reality, what is, you cannot come to terms with it. Then what you do? You go and project and worry about it. Torment yourself. Create your own fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Then you lament over it. You become miserable. Then you blame, you react. You stir your mind. Then you become so miserable. Like so hopeless, so useless. Then finally, want to commit suicide. Oh, life got no more meaning. Live life for what? So much problems, so much suffering. Yeah. Then they say, all my children don't listen to me anymore. My wife also ran away. Oh, see, that type of thought is all delusion, stupidity. When you can accept what is the reality, then you can confront what is. Then you can ask yourself, what are my options? How can I move? How can I resolve this amicably? No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation can make you understand the problem and solve your problem. It will make you miserable. This is called suffering. And this is a noble truth. And the cause of suffering, the Buddha already explained, your self-delusion, that condition you to grasp, cling, and crave. All your becoming. Because you cannot accept the reality which is what is. You want it to be otherwise. Just like Krishnamurti said in the other quote, when you are poor, you want to be rich. When you are unsuccessful, you want to be successful. So all these are craving, desire. But the reality is at this moment, your condition is like that. You don't go and label it. You don't go and conceptualize it and make yourself miserable and create the low self-esteem. Especially when you say, I am poor. I got no way of coming out of the vicious cycle or poverty cycle. Then whatever people say, is it not for me? Impossible. My life is like that, my karma like that. I cannot do anything. That is being foolish, isn't it? Because you cannot understand the reality. The reality is, this moment you are like that because you don't have wisdom, you have delusion, you have a lot of karmic negativity. That's why the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, head to your karma, condition is supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So don't go and conceptualize it, label yourself, name it, and make yourself miserable with low self-esteem. Why can't you just accept this reality that it has to be this way because the causes and condition is like that? I didn't take care of karma last time. I stupid. I deluded. I selfish. I do all those funny things. So law of karma, I reap what I sow. So I land myself in this state. Then now, with this understanding, How should I move? How should I act? Because like Hui Ning say, each and every one of us, we are beautiful within. We have this Buddha nature. There is no difference between your Buddha nature and the poor fellow's Buddha nature or the stupid fellow's Buddha nature. So he also has the Buddha nature like you. But because he conditioned himself into that state and he killed himself because he believed that is what he is. That is sakyadity, self-delusion. You are so beautiful within, but because you can't understand, you didn't plan the causes and condition for you to realize those things. That's why you have to strive on with heedfulness and develop the understanding to transform all this. And that is action. That is living life. That is wisdom, not delusion anymore. Understand? This is what the Krishnamurti code and the teaching is all about. Do not be deluded by what your thought tells you. Do not go and blame yourself, label yourself, and limit yourself. Because this is all self-delusion, sakyadity. And they are very powerful. It can cause living beings to go into depression, have suicidal thoughts, and become more and more afflicted and miserable. But this is the noble truth. And this noble truth is to be understood. That's why you never go through the three turning. When you understand what the noble truth is, then only you can talk about liberating it. If you don't understand that this is suffering and these are the causes of suffering, how can you come out of it? That's why the first two noble truths, when you understand, you will be able to transform your life. If I know this is suffering and this is the cause, I will know how to manage my life better. I will diligently cultivate heedfulness to transform my life so that I will not fall into this delusion. I will start to understand what constitutes evil root, and I will start to be heedful about what I do in life, my thought process, my action, my speech, my mental intention. If I am aware of all these evil roots that are the roots of all evil that will condition me into karmic negativity and cause my karmic nature to fall and cause my previous life to be this way, I vow not to allow this to happen again. That's why I vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to reverse all this. That's why I start to train my mind, keep the precept, cultivate the spiritual faculty, then avoid all evil, do good, then purify the mind, develop the wisdom, then make the aspiration, then invoke power of merits, so that life after life, this nature, when it comes, it has this understanding. It will not be deluded anymore. And you determine not to have this delusion. And you vow life after life to have this understanding. Then from there onward, your cultivation will become very, very different. Because this Buddha Sasana is the real window for you to determine all this, so that it will set the causes and conditions for all this to manifest in the future. Because the merits that you develop through all this understanding and Dhamma activity, especially through the Kayanamita Ship, Kayanamita Fund, will be very, very powerful. You will only know about its power later as you progress in your cultivation. Because all these are based on very deep, clear understanding. And all this can only happen because there are causes and conditions for it to happen. That's why do not underestimate your past. For you to have such condition, just like the Klang Dana YouTube place, somebody asked me a very good question. You go back and listen. I think it's something about karmic obstruction and during the Buddha's time. Because after his enlightenment, after the 7 week, the Buddha reflected and he said the Dhamma that he has realized is not easy. Very few people can understand because it's the opposite of what the living being think and do. So he actually was not keen to teach, reluctant, until Brahma Sahampati came down. and spoke to him, there are still living beings with little dust in their eye who can understand his teaching. So Brother Danny got this question. He said, Brother Teo, all those people that Sakyamuni Buddha managed to teach are the one with little dust. What about we, Putujana, with a lot of dust? Do we stand a chance? Oh, he asked that question. And then you can listen. I answer him very well. You don't want to label yourself that I, like that. Just I say, oh, I am stupid, I am poor. Then you kill yourself. That's, oh, I got a lot of dust. Who is that I? Sakyaditi. Your Buddha nature is so beautiful, you never see. Then you go and condition yourself into that belief, and you limit yourself until your self-esteem so low. Then what are you trying to tell me? You might as well don't cultivate. Correct? Well, you don't stand a chance, because you say your dust. It's, so it's like the poor fellow. Not for me, all this. Because no way. Means what? You close the door straight away without even developing the understanding and giving it a chance. And like Huineng said, each and every one of you, you have your Buddha nature. Your Buddha nature is no different from other people's Buddha nature. Even though you may say you are very stupid, very poor, and very deluded. When you have that understanding, then you realize the difference between them and you is because they have that understanding, they cultivated, then they had that realization. You can also become like them, because last time they were also like you, Putujana, with a lot of dust. But they also, over time, developed the understanding, then they developed the cultivation, then they awakened. Then as they awaken, they develop more and more understanding, then you progress very fast. That's why when you have the right condition, don't allow this window to slip by. Determine. It's worth it, isn't it? This may be another, those who are not that young, you got another 20 years or so. Those that are younger, you got 30, 40 years. Just sacrifice 20, 30, 40 years and set the causes and condition for your future coming to be guaranteed. To be very, very stable. It's worth it. Otherwise, to find this window, I tell you, is going to be a long, long wait. Very, very long. So you have to have this understanding, then determine. And when you determine, it will manifest. It will happen. And all this is because of your past affinity with the Triple Gem and your vow. But you don't remember them. So you have to be serious. When you vow, you must carry it out and determine and make sure it fulfilled. And it's not difficult. Not difficult. So with that understanding, maybe we will continue with the commentary. Okay. Because the mind first thought of going there, we now send rocket to the moon. The mind has no limit or boundaries. You can't say that it is big or small, for there is nothing big and nothing small. The self nature is the middle way. Your true mind is neither right or wrong, true or false. In your true mind, there is no thought of good or evil. Therefore, the sixth patriarch asked Hui Ming, the ex-soldier, who has come to steal the rope and the bar. With no thought of good, and with no thought of evil, at just this moment, what is the superior one, Hui Ming's original face? Oh, see, that question, inquiry, awakened Hui Ming. He posed this question to reveal that there is neither good nor evil in the true mind. And they say in philosophy, it has no head or tail. Do you understand that? There is neither good nor evil in the true mind. Means what? Use the mind. Use the mind.
No discriminations, no concept.
Yeah, there's one way of explaining it. Any other question, answer? pass to the back, so I heard some answer. Ah, very good. Pass to Susan. Yeah, non-duality is very good. You see, you remember the Six Patriarch Sutta or not? I explained to you all last time how Shen Xiu got trapped. Shen Xiu couldn't penetrate or go beyond his cultivation is because he has not realized the true mind. To him, he has been using the mundane mind to cultivate. So what did he do? Huh? He's poem. Not only polish, he started with what? He started with actually what the Buddha taught in the Theravada tradition, the smaller vehicle. That's why they call it Xiao Chen, got reason or not. Because starting, it has to be taught in that way. So what did the Buddha say? Avoid all evil, do good, correct or not? So he followed. Then the Buddha said, the four foundations of mindfulness, remember? It's the only way. So he reflected, he realized this body, it's like a Bohi tree, and it's a tree of enlightenment. The four foundations of mindfulness are all here. Kaya nupasana, Vedana nupasana, Citta and Dhamma, they are all here. That's why he said, the Buddha's word, within this phantom-length body, along with perception, mindfulness, and thought, I proclaim the world, the cause of the arising of the world, the cessation of the world, and the path that lead to the cessation of the world. Means he realized the Four Noble Truths, the enlightenment within this phantom-length body. That's why since you modify it, is it? He said, my body is like a Bohi tree. Well, the Buddha gained enlightenment underneath the Bohi tree. So Bohi stands for enlightenment. So body is like a Bohi tree, which is correct. Then the mind, he don't understand the true mind. He described the mundane mind. He said, to him, the mundane mind, at the perfect level of cultivation, he said, this mind, he said, is like a mirror bright on a stand. Means before it's defiled, understand not? Mirror bright means what? No dust, understand not? That's why he said, after that, the dust come, it become defiled. Then he realized he got to polish until it shine, so that no dust can alight, understand not? He understand you have to be ever mindful. But the Buddha never asked you to polish until it shine. The Buddha asks you to use that silent mind to insight into phenomena. The third advice, purify your mind, he didn't understand. No. He thought purify is to clean it up. No. That's why polish it until it shines, so that no dust can align. Then Hui Ning said, originally there was nothing. It was empty. Where can the dust alight? Dust is what? Defilement. Who created dust? The thought, understand not? Where you create one side, whatever that is not wholesome is defilement, dust. That's why you don't want to have defilement, you don't want to have evil root, you don't want to have hindrance of mind. You want to push it away. But he doesn't understand what the Buddha said. The Buddha said, it must mean sati idang hoti. When this arise, that arise. When you create evil, good will arise, understand not? So this duality, once you create it, you cannot remove it, understand not? That's why Hui Ning told Hui Ming, when you don't have any thought of good and bad, right or wrong, at that moment, what is your true nature? What is your true faith? Then you got no duality, like what Susan say, understand not? No duality means what? No creation, no grasping, no clinging, no concept, no idea, no knowledge. Understand? That's why at that moment, Hui Ming become enlightened. Understand? Because that is what the Dhamma is. And Hui Ming after that some more asked, is there anything else that the fifth Patriarch told you apart from this? Yeah, he find it so interesting, so easy, direct to the true mind. And he became awakened. That's why Hui Ning's teaching is directly pointing at the true mind. He don't go and use the mundane mind to create method, technique, note this, note that, and do all the funny thing. He said, all these are wasting time. Understand? Polish until it shine. If you don't create, there is nothing to polish. Then you don't even know what is the true mind. You keep on clinging to the mundane mind. You think there is a stand. There is a mirror bright, reflecting everything. But the true mind is empty. No word, no concept, nothing. Understand? That's why I say it cannot come out and live life. Because it has got no thought, no words. It's not a being. It cannot come out. Understand? But it's capable of condition arising, the five aggregate of form and mind. And that is not your true mind. That's why you must have self-knowledge. You must have self-awareness, mindfulness, to see clearly that all these are condition arising, the aggregate of mind, the five mental aggregate of form and mind. And they are not you. And that nature within, which is the eternal life, the timeless, the true nature, that one is never born. That's why it is, it never get old, never get sick and die. That's why that one, in the Heart Sutta, don't have anything. Four Noble Truths also don't have. No addition, no subtraction. Not defiled, not pure. So all these are very clearly explained in the Heart Sutta. In true emptiness, all this is to be. That's why the condition arising world has all this, and you must not be deluded by it. That's why the fifth patriarch, when he explained to Hui Ning, when he reached the point, you have to understand this mind so that you know how to use it and not attach to it through delusion. He came to great awakening. Means he was taught how to use. He actually saw all this, he knew, but he couldn't link it. Then only he understand that this form and mind is for him to use, understand not? But he is not deluded by it, understand not? That's why he will not attach and cling onto it. That's why he can use it without having any problem. And that's how he came to great enlightenment, awakening. Then he can use it to live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. That's how the Noble Eightfold Path come about. No more negativity. Because you have right understanding, you are not deluded. When you don't have wrong view, the Noble Eightfold Path fall into place and you become so beautiful. But you have delusion. The first path factor, right view, not there. The whole Noble Eightfold Path collapse. That's why there is no cultivation. So without wisdom, you cannot start. Without understanding, you cannot start. That's why you must have right view, and from there, all the Dhamma come into being. All the Dhamma arise, all the teaching arise. That's why from the first right view of law of karma, Sakyamuni Buddha's advice, Dhammapada verse 183 come about, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 come about, verse 21, 22, 23, all this come about. Then all the essential Dhamma, the three evil roots, the five hindrances, the five spirits, all this manifest because of that right view. Then law of dependent origination, mind. Nature's law of mind, citta niyama. Then he start to understand how his mind function, the 12 link, the dependent origination, how avijja, paccaya, sankhara and all those things. That's why the Mahayana teaching all came from this understanding. But they like improve on it, innovate on it. Just like the prototype, the first car very crude, then now they improve on it and they come out with more and more efficient and more beautiful cars. They even can create all the sports version, aerodynamic and all this thing. Then the brake system, everything, then the electronic system, then all the various type of efficiency and gazette and all that. So Mahayana is like the improvement over the essential teaching. That's why he used very important, very powerful word, qi xing dong nian, yi qie yi qie wei xing zao. So from here, you penetrate the Dhamma very fast. But this is the final understanding. That's why I always share with some Kayanamita who used to discuss with me during their free time. I said, all the Mahayana Sutta is not meant for normal human being to read. They are meant for enlightened being. Because these sutta are some of the teachings that the fully enlightened one, the Sammasambuddha or the great Bodhisattva, they realize. Then they are spoken for the enlightened being to understand. If you use word and interpret and try to understand, you will end up like what they are talking about. Means you don't understand. You talk about emptiness, but your mind is not empty because you have not had the understanding. But when you have the understanding, you can be in that state that is true understanding. That's why it's just like in this world. If you can only talk, you cannot do. No point, that's not. I know this is evil. I know I have to keep the precept. Then the word but, you see, it's so difficult not to tell lie. It's so difficult not to kill. Sometimes you give reason, the insect, the termite, I am forced to kill. Because when you don't understand, you justify, and you create all this. But the moment you understand, all this don't exist. Because you can develop the understanding and live it. Means it's no more a knowledge, an idea or a concept. No. It is an understanding that is a part of your nature. That's why if you have kindness, goodness and virtue, you are the embodiment of all this. That's why the Noble Eightfold Path is within your nature. You have right view, right thought, right speech, right action. And every moment, every instant, it is the embodiment of your understanding and your nature. And it manifests. That is the real one. The one that talk and cannot do is not the real one. That one is full of knowledge. Okay? So, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this part, understand. There is not even a single Dhamma. It is empty. So now you understand. Because quiet mind, simple mind means what? Quiet means no word, no verbalization. Simple means no condemning, no reacting, no duality, nothing. Understand? Don't even try to become anything. Don't even try to be right. Understand? Just silent, empty. Then the mind will liberate. Only when your mind can become like that, then the timeless, the nameless, the eternal life will appear. That Nibbana will arise. That's why it will arise when there is no craving, no movement of mind, silent. But not make silent by energy field or condition. Or through suppression or control or one-pointedness or absorption. The silence must come from a free mind that understands through wisdom that all these are empty, no reality. Then think also like that, don't think also like that. Then the mind sees. That's how the mind realizes itself and sees. And Nibbana will be realized. The timeless will arise. That's why you must train your mind, develop the understanding until this mind become very, very different. Then it will become quiet on its own, naturally. No need to go into concentration. No need to like use method or technique to hold it. It just stay there, silent, because of wisdom, because of understanding, because of non-delusion, non-craving. There is nothing inside there. But the moment the mind start to think and try to conceptualize it, activity of mind arise. That state cease to be. Understand not? Don't try to understand what it is. Don't try to conceptualize or think about it. Forget about it. The moment you understand, the understanding is an awakening. It's a wisdom. And that one is very powerful. That's why Bhavana Mayapanya, when you are ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, especially the Four Foundations, all of a sudden, one day in that silence, it will awaken, it will insight, it will understand. Then everything will fall into place. And you will have very, very beautiful understanding. And that understanding is a wisdom, not a knowledge, not an idea or a concept, no words. Without thought, it will awaken. That nature understands completely what that thing is. That's why it is not deluded by all this creation anymore. The phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world, the external form, the various sight and sound. It will not be deluded by what the conditioned arising mind create through the phenomenal world, the conditioned arising world. Everything becomes very clear to that form and mind because of that awakening. It sees truth everywhere. The characteristics of nature, they are everywhere. Why can't you see? In the midst of life and nature. For those who see, they always see. That's why you only need to persevere, develop the sincerity, the trust, then the faith. Then you cultivate diligently. Don't try to know. Okay? Then we read on, page 119. The self nature is like empty space. But actually, it's not empty space. You cannot describe one. They give you an analogy. It contains within itself both the truth and the false. Enlighten yourself to the original substance. If one penetrates, I think this one is a bad translation. If one penetration penetrate all. This one, I think that the person who make the translation, he do it literally from the Mandarin to the English. The actual meaning is when you penetrate one single Dhamma, understand? You penetrate all Dhamma, understand? Because that single Dhamma is what? That single Dhamma is what? Just now, Hui Ning teach you how to? You have to realize that mind. What is that mind? That single Dhamma. That true mind which is emptiness. Understand? Empty mind. The moment you penetrate that one, you penetrate all. Understand? But the English, you read and look very, very, very funny. Sometimes you don't understand. You say, what is this person trying to tell me? In one penetration, penetrate all. That's very dangerous when you use another language to translate from another language. So now you understand. The meaning is, if you can penetrate that one Dhamma, then you will penetrate all Dhamma. When you hear me say that prajna is empty, do not become attached to undifferentiated emptiness. Here he qualifies himself. If you do, you will see as if dead. Continue the sixth patria. We should cultivate true emptiness, which is wonderful existence. This one comes from where? Heart sutta, understand? Zhen kong miao yu. That's why when you cultivate true emptiness, it is wonderful existence. When you have that wisdom, when you understand true emptiness, then life become meaningful, life become wonderful. That's why life, even though impermanent, not so real, moment to moment, split second is dead and gone. But there is such thing as life. It has its own unique reality, I call it in inverted comma. You can still live. Just like this form of mind, since the year 1989 until now, life is so beautiful, so meaningful. Everything like fall into place, meant to be. And that is life. Because this form of mind understand, that's why it's not deluded. It's no longer entangled. It know how to use it, to live life. to do its duty, to fulfill its vow, to do what it has to do. Because that is the wisdom and the understanding that arise when it is connected to that true nature. And all this come from past cultivation. The nature inherit them. That's why it come back to that understanding. That's why it can have this understanding. It can share all this understanding. And that nature is very unique, very powerful. And everyone has that nature. It's only how much can you realize, or how much cultivation has the form and mind over the years of evolution developed the perfection. If that being has perfected it all, when the form and mind arise, when it connect, it will have that understanding. It will come to that understanding. Okay, then we go on. Huh? In true emptiness, everything is known and everything is not known. So this is just to let you have better understanding. But if you take the word literally, it makes you very confused. Correct or not? Because in the first place, in true emptiness, everything is understood. Then everything is also not understood. Yeah. So understanding complete and clear, like water reflecting the moon. The mind in samadhi, like the sky. For 10,000 miles, not a single cloud. Means clarity, not clouded. So this is the poem. I think we end here. We stop here. Otherwise you don't have enough time for meditation. Okay, you got any question or not? Oh, 5 o'clock. You got any question, right? Anybody wants to ask anything or share anything? Ah, yeah, Susan. Pass the mic to Susan.
Sorry. Hello. Brother Teo, you've said that all of us have got our true nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Which means, can I say that it also means that in the past, this nature has been developed. Except that
no.
Because of delusion.
No. It's no? Not developed yet. Depend on the form and mind's evolution. If they are real bodhisattva, they have evolved, then yes. Otherwise, it depends. That true nature is all the time there. This so-called original nature is like the source of all things. Before anything arise. That's why they call it the source, the true nature. But this one is not a being, understand? It's not you. That's why you cannot say each and every one of us has. If you want to say that, you must refer to that form of mind, the endless birth and death form of mind. Means each and every one of the karmic nature, they can connect to that true nature. Because this nature is very strange. Within the condition arising world, they call it samsara or existential world. If you want to come to this world, you must come with a form and mind. That is the first requirement, prerequisite. And each and every of this form and mind is very unique. You remember in the Thursday class I shared? One is all. All is one. Why? Even though you may think you are very insignificant, but because you existed before for eons and eons of birth and death. Without your existence, the universe is not what it is today. Understand? But because of all the beings existent, the universe is what it is today. That's why because of all these beings, your nature become, your karmic nature become like that. But also because of your existence, this universe is what it is. Their nature become one. That's why one is all is one. And all these cultivators, they know, when I destroy another fellow being, I destroy the oneness. When I destroy nature, you are part of nature. You destroy your own nature. Understand? That's why the nature's law is very powerful. And you understand. So it doesn't mean that, because last time a lot of people have this argument, especially Theravada, they try to push it aside. But there was one European monk who think like that. He don't believe in the Mahayana teaching that everyone has his Buddha nature. He said, you already have your Buddha nature, you no need to cultivate, you already Buddha. Because he take the word literally. That's not. Buddha nature means the original nature before the first thought of ignorance, understand not, arise and evolve into the complicated living being to have that karmic nature. Because creation is going on non-stop, understand not. That's why the beings are countless. Even Nibbana, the enlightened being that realized Nibbana cannot be like a prison or a place or a heaven where you have so many beings become enlightened over capacity, cannot go in. No such thing. The Buddha already mentioned it in the Sutta. Nibbana always got space for living being to realize. Because this is the nature. Understand? So beings are countless, limitless. Likewise, Nibbana, there is no quota on it. So when you have that understanding, then you will come to know why Sakyamuni Buddha teach with such profound understanding. Because he said, each and every one of us have that true nature. But because of delusion over the eons and eons of birth and death, you have lost touch with that true nature. It forgot what it was originally all about. So this form and mind, you remember the Surangama Sutta, that's why you had to go through the Mahayana Sutta that you understand. The Surangama Sutta, Leng Yan Jing, explained very clearly the origin of living beings, not only human beings. He said, because of the first thought of ignorance, that is primordial mind. Primordial mind means the first thought of delusion or ignorance. It's still very pure, understand? But because of space, because of energy, because of consciousness, it's stirred. Then the first thought of ignorance, they call it the primordial darkness, understand? From there, it starts to fall. Then it starts to evolve. At first, it's a simple pure thought, understand? Pure thought, with a little bit of delusion. Then it become more and more defiled, conditioned and conditioned. Until later on, it become very complicated, very complex. Then there is this condition arising mind coming out. Then as it come out, it starts to get entangled with external phenomenal world. Then through delusion, it starts to be clouded. Then it continue to evolve. Until finally, when it reach a point of time where it's complex enough, they say the knower becomes the living being. Understand not? Because you think there is a thought, there is a person inside there. There is a knower become the living being, the traveler in time, in space and time. And that is the living being. Understand not? The five aggregate of form and mind. That's why you travel in samsara, traveler in space of space and time. Then consciousness, the one that can make you conscious, understand not, created the continent, the stars, the mountain, and everything within the phenomenal world. That's how living being comes about. So the knower is actually the condition arising mind, the thought. Then from there, you fall, become what you are. Then later on, become more and more sophisticated, take more and more solid form. That's why you can be born as animals, human beings, non-humans and all those things. Then the plant, whatever they arise, because they are all mind-make energy, consciousness. So consciousness is the source of creation. Without consciousness, nothing come about. But from consciousness, energy manifests. That's why the Big Bang, from zero, suddenly there is a burst of energy. Then when the universe collapses back into the black hole, again it goes back to emptiness. Understand? Then in between is the law of conservation of energy and mass. That's why all this, you have to develop the meditation to go into that nature. Then you have to perfect until Samasa Buddhahood, or very near, to understand all this creation. That's why the Buddha is called the fully enlightened one. He can understand all creation. He can understand where he has gone through, witness all this, and he has all knowing wisdom or understanding. So coming back to your question, no, not everybody has perfected that nature. That nature is not like not like a gift that belongs to you, no? But it is the original oneness. You understand? No? It's the original nature of everything that arises come from there. Yeah? That is the source. From there, everything starts. Then to there, everything returns. That's why when you realize Nibbana, you go back to that source. And scientists now come to realize this. They call it the singularity. You heard of this word? This word, singularity. This singularity is just a very, very fine entity or point. It is from there everything comes about. They believe the black hole, when it reaches a certain maturity or saturation, then it will start over again, the Big Bang. The Big Bang means the beginning of the Big Bang. The starting point of that universe evolution, when it starts again, it starts from that singularity. That's why scientists are trying to understand that, because they have managed to develop calculation until that singularity. Then from there, they predict the various physicists' theory and formula. That's why they come out with string theory, Big Bang theory, and all that. Then from the calculation or the formula which they started our hypothesis, then they check against our universe. Then they backdate it. That's why now they have developed quite a good success. Some of the theory, the string theory, now they are very close to coming to understand what Einstein was trying to develop. You remember Einstein? Before he died, what did he want to develop? Yeah? What did he want to develop? Yeah? You know what he want to develop? Huh? He called it a unified theory. You heard of this? Unified theory. How many of you are science students? Nobody. Well, like that, you cannot understand this. you must have that scientific understanding or scientific mind. And I can tell you, this life is very strange. When I was in 4-4-4-5, when I understood science, I broke all this. Then when I went to the university, you think I study engineering. I of course have to study, otherwise I cannot pass. But I remember second year, third year, and final year, I went to a library. I go and look for all these books written by all these great scientists. I read all these books. That's why I can understand their theory. Einstein's theory of relativity, then the unified theory, I will say, and how he want to he want to unify all the understanding of science so that he can understand the mind of God. You know what is the mind of God? They say God is the creator. So what God is doing, he will understand. Because when he unifies all this theory, he will penetrate. But his problem comes from where? He lacked one very important understanding. Science has penetrated a lot. You look at science, the first law that they penetrated is the physical law. So within physical law, you know, they have developed the understanding of what? Gravity. Okay? Then, electricity. Electromagnetic field. Then they have this, what they call photon theory. Then all the what they call the micro particle at the very small level, very, very small scale one. They call it, I forgot the term already. Nano is a small figure, but they got this type of science. They study all the micro thing one. No, smaller than that one. They have various type of theory, photon theory and what. Then there's a lot of this particle. Now they know electron also can be broken down. Understand? Then within the proton, there is this neutron and neutrino and many, many of these forces. They call it the very... Because under this type of very micro type of world, the physics is different. Understand? That's why they call... There is the wave theory and the particle theory. Light can behave as particle and wave under different circumstances. And they call the theory of uncertainty. When you are certain of the speed, you are not certain of the location. When you are certain of the location, you are not certain of the speed. They come up with all this understanding. Then the observer and the observed. When there is an observer, the particle behave differently. When there is no observer, the particle behaves differently. That's why all this moral causation, physics, because we got the moral causation. When there is an observer that observes, the mental intention trigger off mental activity and the mental volition. That's why it affects the moving particle. Understand? That's why law of karma come in. And that is where Einstein cannot understand, because he never developed the mind. Understand? Consciousness. He lacked one entity, which is consciousness in the unified theory. Well, when he can unify all these electromagnetic force, gravity, and all the various type of scientific theory and all those things, then he can explain the way things are. Just like science can tell you why our sun is like one of these stars, and when it will die, deplete of the energy, become supernova, then become a black hole. Our Earth is already, I think, 10 billion years old, according to their dating. Then it will collapse, don't know how many more billion years. They can predict all this, because based on their understanding. And they have seen in the various parts of the universe how supernova, black hole, or the formation, everything. They have data, and they have computer that can simulate and calculate all this. So this unified theory, they came to a very good estimate of many, many things. But then they were stuck for many, many years, even after Einstein died. They realized our universe, based on the various string theory, the Big Bang theory, there are a lot of unaccounted matter. That's why they call it black matter. Matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. Or dark energy. Then later on, they come out with this string theory and all those things. So all this, I realized what he lacked is the consciousness, because he didn't penetrate the consciousness. Well, the consciousness, the spiritual law of karma, law of mind, and Dhamma Niyama. That is the part that he missing. That's why the Buddha, if you read the Mahayana Sutta, all these various type of Mahayana Sutta, especially the Miao Hua, Lian Hua Jing, and those even Wu Liang Shou Jing, they got tell you, you know, within a speck of what they call, I don't know how they describe it, one small point, the whole universe is there. The Samasambuddha, the all-knowing one, it can understand because it can go back to that singularity. We call it the beginning of time. So from there, the expanding universe start expand. That's why they believe you can go back to that origin, you can understand the whole creation. How all this expanding universe come about, how it become what it is. Because it is from that singularity all the understanding come from. That's why when you go back to the source, when you develop the perfection, you can understand everything. Yeah. So this is what the source is all about. But it doesn't mean you come from the source, the byproduct, like you ask, each and every form of mind, means you have that Buddha nature enlightened already. Not like that one. This form of mind has to start developing the cultivation and the perfection and the connect back, then return to that source. Then only that nature arise. Then every time it come, that form of mind can connect and have that understanding. That's why that is the marvel of creation, marvel of existence. And everything is not real, not what you think. The Buddha nature is just a nature, it's not a person. But that life, 2,600 over years ago, the form of mind, Gautama Buddha, or the Sakya family, yeah, that one is the Buddha, understand? Because that is the form of mind that it take in that life. And that one is the Buddha, but that one is not him, understand? That one is just one of the five aggregate of form of mind in that birth, understand? But it has the full condition to become the Samasambuddha. That's why you say, that is Sakyamuni Buddha. But it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Because that one, Parinibbana, understand? Parinibbana means what? The form of mind is separate. It's not him, understand? But the perfection that he has cultivated, the Buddha nature, is already there. That's why you can take refuge. You can create affinity, you can develop the vow and connect. The nature is still there. Don't go and believe all those people who tell you, oh, Buddha Parinibbana, no more, finish already, you pray to Buddha, no use. Forget about what they tell you. All these great beings, their nature is still there. Understand? It's part of nature, part of the existential law, nature's law. That's why you have faith, you have affinity. Their vow has become part of nature's law. It will manifest. Understand now? It will connect. That's why don't go and listen to all those who don't understand and use their thought and knowledge to interpret to you. Then you like believe them. And through that, you can get yourself entangled and karmic obstruction can happen. But you follow their so-called knowledge that is given to you, then you go and tell people, yeah, that one Mahayana teaching, you be careful, not correct, not like that one, cannot be like that. If you go and do all those without understanding, you can get karmic obstruction. Why you want to do that? That's why different level of understanding, different level of cultivation will make you different. That's why at different stages of understanding, your understanding evolve. It's just like the example I used to give. Primary school, you ask them about arithmetic, they will tell you only four things, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. If you tell them got calculus, got differential equation, got Fourier series and all those higher maths, he say, you crazy, you don't lie to me. My teacher teach me arithmetic is just these four things. Understand? But you go to secondary school, then you're like, hey, God. Then you go to university, all the higher maths also got very complicated, finite element, everything also got. But then you realize, hey, maths is not just this four things. Oh. So that's why when you don't have that cultivation, that understanding, you try to have an open mind. Do not complicate matter. Otherwise, you create unnecessary karmic obstruction. Then be sincere. When you are sincere, you got no karmic obstruction. Where you being honest, you just explain to people what you understand. Then you say you don't have to believe me. Because this is just my understanding. I share with you. And then you are okay. But you go and promote something that you don't understand and you're not sure, because you are too eager to promote, then there is coming implication. Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, thank you for the question. So you still want to meditate, right? Not much time left. You got only 34 minutes. Maybe you meditate for 15 minutes. You meditate for 15 minutes. Okay, off the light, then you all can go ahead with your meditation. Oh, Ing be your friend. Oh, okay. Oh, the previous session. Do they have the blue book or not? You have, you try to get another copy for your the other friend. Then also the seminar paper book. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, you have. Yeah, received it on. Oh, okay. Oh, good. What about a seminar paper in Bangkok? Yellow one, yeah. You have red also? Huh? Oh, you got three. Very good. Oh, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana. Oh, that one was placed on the clang talk. Yeah. Good. If you have those three, they are already quite long in the cultivation. No, the Dhamma, you all have been learning quite a while. Okay, good. Then give them the Heart Sutta. You read through the Heart Sutta short notes. It's compiled over a period of 15 months. Lexus. Oh, yeah. I have it in my car, yeah. You wait. I have it in my car. The Heart Sutta. You bring the Heart Sutta down. I will pass you this Heart Sutta book. Most of the important understanding and teaching are there. You try to read through and develop the clear understanding. It will help you. It will help you. Okay, the rest of you can start your meditation. If you need to train your mind, then you train your mind. You can either develop whatever skillful means that you have developed, like what I explained in the blue book. The Buddha's explanation is very easy. The reason why living beings cannot meditate because they have the hindrance, the five mental hindrance. These five mental hindrance, they are called sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. When you have them, it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness and inner mindfulness. So to counter this, you need to cultivate the five spiritual faculties, the opposite five. So this spiritual faculty, which is Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, you can develop them through puja, through the second turning, contemplation and reflection on who the Buddha is and how special he is. And also the teaching, the Dhamma that he has taught, how unique the Dhamma is, so that you can develop the faith. Then if you still have the hindrance that disturb you and make you lack of peace, if your spiritual faculty are not strong, then you can use the mind sweeping method to start off with, to help you decondition your heedless thinking, to train your mind to be at the location you want it to be. Then as you develop the mind sweeping method, you can combine with metta. The mind sweeping method will bring about inner peace, inner quietness of mind. then you combine with metta, loving kindness, it will bring about inner well-being. Inner peace and inner well-being are very important mind state to develop initially, so that the heedless thinking can actually be reversed. And when that happens, the five mental hindrances will be temporarily at bay. Then you are more quiet, more peaceful, more mindful. You don't think so much. And then you can start to train this mind so that this peace or this mindfulness within can stay longer. And you can do that through any of your method of meditation that you have been taught. They are only skillful means to anchor the mind, to keep the mind within the moment. That's why you develop mindfulness of your object of meditation. You can anchor it to your breathing. They call mindfulness of the in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. Anapana is in and out breath. So mindfulness of this in and out breath. So you just silence your mind, maintain attention in front of your nostril, and allow the breathing to go on naturally. Then when you are silent, the silence will detect the breathing. Then when your mind, the awareness, and the breathing move as one without thought, and that is mindfulness of the breathing. The Buddha said, breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Don't focus, don't concentrate, just mindful of the in and out breath. Initially, when you are not familiar, not used to it, this mind will wander off very fast, and within split second, you will lose your ability to be aware of breathing. But don't worry, maintain attentiveness, awareness of the breathing again. Bring the mind back. Don't react, don't stir, and just patiently train. Then, not long, this anapanasati will stabilize. If you have other meditation objects like rising, falling, or atonement, you can also use them. It's the same. It is just to anchor the mind so that it is mindful of that rise and fall of the atonement. As you breathe in and breathe out, your atonement rise and fall. It's the same. So instead of being aware of the breathing, you can be aware of any part of your bodily vibration or activity. It can also be your heartbeat, or any part that is sensitive where you can develop awareness on. Then from there you train. After you have trained, this mind will become very quiet, very peaceful. Then there is what they call sati, which will arise. Then you stabilize it. Then sati becomes samadhi. Then you will experience the calm mind, the meditative mind. Then when your mind is just mindful, aware without thought, you will experience a type of spiritual joy which they call piti. Piti is a type of spiritual peace, spiritual joy, or spiritual rapture. When you experience that, you will like to meditate because this mind becomes very different, very quiet, very peaceful. Then as you experience piti, if you relax into it and allow it to be, it will become more and more refined. Then it will transform to become sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. Very calm, very still, very quiet, but at the same time very blissful within. Then you continue to relax into it, silent. Sukha will also transform into pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when pasati arises, just silent everything. Don't do anything. Don't even go and do sitting, touching. Don't even verbalize. Just silent everything and stay with the mind. Stay with the awareness. Then later on, this awareness will stabilize and become very quiet, very peaceful, very still, very tranquil. Then your mind will develop the higher mindfulness, more refined type of mindfulness. Then when it arises, your mind will transform. It will enter sati. When the mind is in sati, you will become very different. This is the meditative mind. You will understand many, many things. Then wherever you locate this mind can detect many, many things. Later on, even the subtle breathing, the subtle rise and fall of the abdomen or vibration within your body and mind, or your heartbeat, it will become very clear to you. You don't need a stethoscope. You just silent, feel. It will detect. Then as you stabilize this mindful state, this sparsity, which is enlightenment factor, then you need to slowly, slowly use it to live life. Carry it into the daily mindfulness so that you can cultivate daily mindfulness with this trained mind. The trained mind is very unique because it will listen to you. You want this mind to be silent, it will be silent. You want this mind to be peaceful, it will be peaceful. You want it to be aware, it will be aware. And that is a trained mind. Then the mind is under your command. You can use it, you can direct it. You can develop mindfulness and awareness of whatever that arises within your own five aggregate of form and mind. Then you can see clearly all the essential Dhamma that arise and pass away within your own form and mind. Then you silence everything. That is the training. Okay, I'll leave it to you to develop the meditation. I will ring the bell after about 5 or 10 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner mindfulness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the three mind states that you need to maintain for as long as you can, so that you can carry forward into your daily life to develop the daily mindfulness. The real meditation is still sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. If you cannot be mindful in the midst of life, then you cannot develop the real meditation. This daily mindfulness is very important. Ever mindful, moment to moment, in the midst of life. Okay, so now we open it up for Q&A and meditation reporting. Anybody wants to report their meditation? Anybody? Yeah, you can report your meditation if you want to. You pass the mic to our... Push it up all the way. Yes.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
What is it you want to know?
Up to you. You can report your meditation if you have developed it in your own way. You can just describe to me exactly how you do. Then after that, you can ask me any question. Session two is just meditation, reporting, and question and answer.
In fact, I've just started.
Yes.
Before this, I've read a lot of books. And then they say that the books say that you've got to analyze the thing and ask questions here and there. Today I heard you saying
the opposite.
You don't care anything about it.
No, not to say we don't care. We need to develop the understanding of what is meditation. See, you mentioned the book recommend analysis. Okay, so we are not here to argue about right and wrong. We are just to understand why they recommend that. Then is it appropriate if they recommend that? Is your understanding of meditation which is more important? If you don't understand what is meditation, then how can you meditate? Correct or not? You cannot develop something that you don't understand. But if they tell you to analyze, then what do you do? You use your thought to analyze, isn't it? So when your thought is actively analyzing, how can you be meditating? Correct or not?
Right.
Means you are thinking. Understand or not?
Right.
You are trying to find out, is this right, is this wrong? What am I supposed to do? The book say, not this, not that. Does it mean there are different people interpret the word differently? To different people, the word not can have various type of meaning. Understand or not? Then they go and not hearing. Sound. Thinking. Okay. When you do that, what happened? What happened?
You have to think, isn't it? You also have to think. But the thing is that you just sort of know, that's all.
Okay. Fair enough. Because you verbalize, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when you verbalize, what happened? The word come out, isn't it? Correct or not?
In your mind.
So, the thought hold on to the word. Correct or not?
Yeah.
That's why you are doing verbalization. When you verbalize, how can you be aware? You can never be aware. True or not?
Yeah.
If I want to be aware of something, I have to be silent to observe. Like in a school, in a class, when you want to listen to the teacher teaching, you have to silent everything and listen. Then only you can listen. You off the thing, off the mic. Otherwise, there's a distortion there. But let's say, instead of listening, you verbalize whatever the teacher say. Then you verbalize sound. What happened? your thought is repeating this verbalization of sound, sound, sound. So you cannot be hearing what the teacher is saying. Understand? You can only do one thing at a time. If you are focused on that verbalization, you cannot be aware of what is happening. But meditation is to understand what is going on, to be aware of the reality of the moment. So if you verbalize, how can you be aware of the reality of the moment? Your mind is active, verbalizing. It can only do one thing at a time. Listen. If I'm aware, means I don't verbalize. I silent, then I fully attentive, fully aware. I can see things as they are, hear whatever as they are. Then if my brain don't process it and react, there is the reality. But the moment I perceive it, and with my views and opinion, I react to what I see, what I hear, I am no longer observing. I am commenting. Understand? I am reacting to what the teacher say. That's why there is no more attentiveness. So you can only do one at a time. Either you're attentive within the moment to be aware of what is going on, or you are lost in thought. Lost in thought means what? Verbalizing, thinking, commenting, and reacting. Can you accept that? Can you follow up to that? Yeah. So meditation is very simple. The Buddha said, develop mindfulness. Means what? Train your mind not to be heedlessly lost in thought. Train your mind not to think. Understand? Just silence your mind and develop mindfulness and awareness of the reality. When I am mindful, means when you are with the object of meditation, which could be the breathing or any object of meditation. When you are with that, the mind is silent without thought. It's not verbalizing. It is just aware. When it's aware, it has clarity. It can understand what is going on. Your senses are all fully open. Then you are not preoccupied with any thought process, with any verbalization. That's why you have attentiveness. You have the silent mind in full sati or awareness. That's how you can see things as they are, hear things as they are, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and whatever thought that arises, you can be mindful of it as they are. But the moment you label it, conceptualize it, react to it, judge it, comment, your thought become active again, and you are not listening anymore. You are not meditating anymore. You are actually stirring your mind in reaction to what is going on. Then let's say when you meditate, when there is pain, what you do? When there is pain, let's say, what do you do?
Yeah.
When there is pain,
just label it.
You note. They teach you note. Pain, pain, pain. Okay. You want to understand what happened or not?
Yes.
I will explain to you. Then you find out for yourself. You're off the mic. When you label it, pain, 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 first, verbalization. Okay? Then what is pain? Negative feeling. Understand now? You don't want. You want to get rid of it. Correct? Not? Because it's disturbing you. And what are the five mental hindrances? First two is sensual desire and ill will, sloth and torpor, then restlessness of mind and doubt. The first two, sensual desire and ill will, these are your like and dislike. These are your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So what happened? When you label it negatively, it's a aversion, ill will. You don't like this. That's why it becomes a mental hindrance. Then that mind state will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner mindfulness. That's why it's called a hindrance. Why do you label it? Why do you make yourself miserable over it? Just like just how Krishnamurti said, you label yourself, I am poor, I am stupid. Then you have low self-esteem. Understand? Then you believe you are dead. Understand? You believe the pain is you. That's why you cannot understand. Then you create hindrance. What happens if you don't labor? You silence your mind and find out what is happening. How come that thought come? How come that labeling come? Because people teach you, understand not? People tell you you meditate like that. That's why they say the book asks you to analyze. Then they give you a method and a technique to meditate. What is a method? What is a technique? A series of instructions to do things. Is that meditation? Meditation is never that, understand not? What is meditation according to the Buddha? It's very simple. He teaches the Four Noble Truths, the essence of his teaching. Okay? First Noble Truth talks about the reality of life and existence, the Noble Truth of suffering, the eight reality: birth, old age, sickness and death, separation from loved one and possession, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want, and in short, he said, it is through your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling at your five aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. So this one is a noble truth of suffering. Talks about reality of life and existence. It's not the meditation. Okay? Second noble truth explain to you the cause of arising of suffering. He said, which is craving, born of self-delusion. Also not meditation. Then third noble truth is what? The Buddha says, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. That is the third noble truth. But it is also not about meditation. The fourth noble truth is the meditation. Why? You meditate to become enlightened, isn't it? To be free from all suffering, isn't it? Correct or not? Then what is the fourth noble truth? The Buddha said there is a noble eightfold path. If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's why you become enlightened. And that is the meditation. So the series of instruction to do meditation got nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path, understand? No? Then how can that be meditation? It's only a series of instruction to do something. Either note rising, falling, or note breathing, or do some skillful means. Meditation object where you develop mindfulness on is actually a skillful means to train your mind so that it is not heedlessly thinking and lost in thought, so that you can anchor it to that kaya movement, the bodily movement. Because this movement, like the breathing or the rising and falling of the abdomen, is always within the moment. Understand not? When you are aware of them, you are with the moment without thought. That is what the method and technique are for. But they never explain to you. They say you know rising, falling, and this is vipassana. You become gullible. You think this is vipassana. So every time you meditate, you know rising, falling. If you don't know, you think you are not meditating. You are not doing vipassana. Because you never find out what is vipassana. Vipassana is not a series of instruction to note. Vipassana comes from the word vi and passana. We is the three characteristics of nature: impermanent characteristic, suffering state, and non-self. And pasana is to insight into. Understand? Not? That's why vipassana is to insight into the three characteristics of nature. Any meditation that can lead to this understanding is called vipassana. It's not a method and a technique. It's an understanding. When you understand, when you can meditate, silence your mind until you can insight into phenomena, means with the silent mind that can see things as they are, the direct seeing, jnana dasana. You heard of all this word, isn't it? That is the real vipassana. Jnana is the insight knowledge. Dasana is the insight that arises through seeing things as they are. So this is a very important understanding, so that when you meditate with understanding, you don't labor without understanding and create the own hindrance and make your mind not able to settle down. Let me finish this before you ask. Huh? What happens if you don't labor? When you don't labor, what happens? Let's say that phenomena which you call pain, arise. What happens if you don't labor? That's why I ask you the question. What happens if you don't labor? You must try it, isn't it? Correct or not? If you don't try it, you cannot understand. Because the actual thing that happens in meditation, if I don't labor, I silent, I am with the moment. Understand not? With the moment, then you experience what is happening there. Let's say your leg got pain, because after you sit, the chi cannot flow, energy build up, cause blockage. That's why there is a phenomenon, tactile phenomenon. You know what is tactile, isn't it? Huh? Tactile, you don't know. T-A-C-T-I-L-E. Tactile. Like seeing consciousness. Understand not? There is this seeing phenomenon. Then hearing, smell, taste, then the body can feel, isn't it? That is called tactile. Tactile consciousness. So you will feel this one without word. That is real vipassana. That is real meditation, seeing things as they are. Don't go and labor. Why you want to labor? If you silence your mind, then it become what? Just a phenomenon without words. Understand? If without words means I will come to an understanding. Because the silent mind will understand. Hey, how come here like that? Other place not like that. Then you silent and find out and investigate. Then you realize the energy, the chi cannot flow. Then you decide to accept this phenomena because this is part of nature's law. If I don't know how to relax, if I cross my leg, it will cause chi flow to be blocked. Then if I'm not used to it, if I don't train myself like those who do yoga, the pain will arise. That phenomena will arise, understand not? So if I accept it and don't labor it, then it's not a hindrance. There is no ill will towards it. There is no craving and desire to push it away. Then I can accept this phenomena for what it is. I don't want to labor. And when my mind got no more hindrance, I am at peace, understand not? Then I can be with it. Of course, initially it's intolerable, understand not? Because it's disturbing. This is something your consciousness has been conditioned not to like, understand not? But when you understand that only here block, other place don't block, then you can try to develop understanding that what happens if I relax into it? Those who understand will tell you not to labor and just relax into it. If you relax into it and be patient with it, silent and maintain awareness, what happens? Sati take over, mindfulness take over, the spiritual faculty take over. Then your mind become peaceful, aware. Then piti arise, understand? When piti arise, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture, spiritual calmness, this very calm state of mind state will take over, understand? That's why the pain will disappear. Because you don't create hindrance. Then you realize this is impermanent. Because it come and go, it's condition arising. When I don't know how to relax, there is pain. You have saw me sit 2.5 hours just now, and I never move. Except walking up there to write something. Understand not? How come I don't feel pain? I can sit for 3-4 hours, I don't feel pain. It's not that I am a psychic guy or got magic. No, I am like you, a normal human being. I know how to relax, that's it. And I don't labor it. And there is no hindrance in my mind. Whatever that arises, I understand. Then I silent and be with it. When I am able to be with it, my mind is peaceful. That is meditation. Then understanding arises. So next time I got no problem with pain. Because I'm not deluded. I'm not gullible. I don't believe what people tell me. I find out myself. I meditate on my own. So this is one of the very important examples that you can develop to have your own understanding. Don't believe what people say. Like the Buddha said, do not believe even what he say. Investigate. into everything. That's why the second factor of enlightenment after sati is Dhamma Vichaya. You understand this word? Dhamma Vichaya, which is Dhamma investigation. Without mindfulness, you cannot investigate into Dhamma. That's why you have to silence to find out. What people teach you, is it the truth? Or is it something based on their knowledge? They think logical. They have been taught that way. Then they follow what they have been taught and teach you. But if that technique and method is really something very genuine and can bring about the correct understanding, then a lot of people would have benefited from it. Understand not? But you look around, those who do all this type of meditation, finally, they came and told me, what you say is very true, Radio. After the retreat, come out back into life, 1 week, 2 weeks, maximum 3 weeks, go back to square one. They realize they still got fear, emotion, anger, selfishness, craving, desire. Nothing has changed. Because that one is thought-based, knowledge-based, you do without understanding. But the one that do with understanding, they become different. Their mind state become different, they transform. Then they develop clear understanding of the form and mind, who they are, what they are. Understand that? That one is capable of developing the wisdom, the understanding, and transforming that person, that so-called cultivator. So this is what you can maybe reflect on. Go back and develop your own understanding. Then it can help you. Then when you read all this book, also have an open mind. Don't even accept what is being spoken or shared. You investigate into it. If it's the truth, it will stand up to investigation. So in that way, you receive it without prejudice. Understand? Means have an open mind. Whatever is written, if you can understand good and well, then use it if it's beneficial. But if you cannot understand and you find it not beneficial, then never mind. Just let things be. Then hopefully it will benefit you. So I have some books here. You can come and collect. Do you have this one? This is good. What about the other friend? You have? You don't have? Come. Both of you can have it. This one will let you understand who you are and what you are. Sorry, next time you can sit on a chair. You don't have to force yourself to sit on the cushion there. We are not easy. Then what about this book? Sabba Asabha Sutta, Knowing and Seeing. You don't have? Then this is a seminal book I mentioned. You have? You have? Yeah, you have. Okay. Then this one? This is the Heart Sutta. Oh, okay. What about you? You got? Okay. Sadhu? I read you. Okay, Miss Lee. I put this on here. So we should thank our Kayamita Lim, Brother Lim, for the good question and the good condition for us to have this sharing. Oh, so fast, 6:09 already. Oh, sorry. I've taken extra time. Yeah, we started the meditation late just now. Okay, never mind. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer merit now. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha pumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati siddhiya May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hon tunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hon tunya tayo. Idang menya tinang ho tu sukita hon tunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Can you make your aspiration? Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.